You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
A very good evening and a very warm welcome to That Podcast on Money Control, which is your evening companion of all the big stories that took place across the world. Today is the 3rd of May 2019. Let's find out what happened in the world.
Editor's pick of the day.
News reports have emerged that inflows into Krishi Kalyan Cess are continuing even after the project being scrapped, money also vanishing from Pradhan Mantri Kisan scheme accounts. A little bit more about this rather intriguing story later in the podcast. Let's start with some headlines from India. Lenders have taken a 57% haircut in 94 cases worth 1.75 lakh crore rupees, which were resolved in FY19, recovering just 75,000 crore rupees or only 43% of the admitted claims, according to a report. As of March, there were 1,143 cases pending at various bankruptcy tribunals and 32% of them are pending for over 270 days. As we know, the stipulated timeline is 270 days, whereas the average resolution time for these 94 cases resolved was way more at 324 days. According to this study, some of the key issues that need to be addressed for successful implementation of the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code are adherence to timelines, adequate judicial infrastructure, creditor classification and prioritizing, among others. Now, in news coming out of the ongoing Jet Airways saga, we had spoken earlier that there was a groundswell of support, almost cinematic, from the employees. Now, the Jet Airways employees have met SBI CAPS and have presented a proposal to take over the airline. SBI CAPS is, of course, overseeing the bidding process of Jet Airways. On the 29th of April, the employees had written to Rajneesh Kumar, who is the SBI chairman, offering to take over the airline. They promised an investment of 7,000 crore rupees, which includes 3,000 crore rupees from investors and 4,000 crore rupees from employees through hypothetical 5-year employee stock option program. SBI CAPS has told the employees that their proposal will be considered only after the conclusion of the bidding process. In some quarter earnings results, Hindustan Unilever, the giant FMCG, has reported a 13.8% rise in quarter four net profit at 1,538 crore rupees. In the same quarter of the previous fiscal, the profit stood at 1,351 crore rupees. There are more developments in the Anil Ambani saga. $2 billion is the amount Anil Ambani needs in asset sales to save the last stronghold of the group, that is Reliance Capital. It controls India's fifth biggest mutual fund and is racing to close this planned $2 billion of asset sales to bolster its finances after cash dwindled to as little as 110 million rupees or just about $1.6 million. As we know, the older brother Mukesh had stepped just in time to settle an overdue payment and save Anil the embarrassment of a stint in jail. The value of Anil Ambani's holdings in companies has plunged to about $120 million from a net worth of at least $31 billion in 2008, when he was one of the richest men in the world. Realty firm Godrej Properties today announced the acquisition of the iconic RK Studios land in Chembur in Mumbai, where it would develop mixed-use projects housing luxury flats and retail space. Spread across 2.2 acres, the project will offer approximately 33,000 square meters, which is about 0.35 million square feet of saleable area, comprising modern residential apartments of various configurations, as well as a luxury retail experience, the company said in a statement. Ranbir Kapoor, the oldest son of the late actor Raj Kapoor, said, "We have chosen Godrej Properties to script a new chapter for this location and build upon its rich history." Unquote. India's largest telecom operator, Vodafone Idea, today announced a 5-year, multi-million dollar IT outsourcing deal with tech giant IBM. The company did not divulge the size of the deal, but there are reports pegging it at about a massive $700 million. The new infrastructure platform that they're trying to develop will remove constraints to exponential growth of data usage driven by increasing consumption of video, streaming, and digital commerce, the statement said. Now, the oil woes that India is facing, thanks to the US sanctions on one of its top suppliers, that is Iran, India is looking at new geographies to meet its energy needs. The world's third largest oil importer, that is India, is looking to secure an interest in Guyana's oil fields, which are being hailed as one of the largest oil finds in recent times. Guyana is, of course, a neighbor of Venezuela in South America. In a report on Bloomberg, we understand that India's auto stocks have lost as much as $42 billion in value in the last 16 months, and some analysts are saying that the rout may not be over. A gauge of automobile companies has fallen 30% since reaching a record in December 2017, and it is the worst performer among the 19 sectoral indices in the nation's equity market. Maruti Suzuki, Hero MotoCorp, and Mahindra & Mahindra are among the biggest decliners on the Sensex this year, notching up losses of up to 20%. Only two of the 16 companies on the S&P BSE Auto Index have seen some green: Tata Motors and Bajaj Auto. Financial creditors of JP Infratech today rejected Suraksha Realty's bid for the debt-laden firm as the offer was low on upfront cash payment, according to sources. Under the insolvency proceedings, 41.85% of the total votes of the COC, that is the Committee of Creditors, was against the proposal, while 23.47%, most of those voting in favor, were home buyers who hold about 60% of the voting rights in the COC. Suraksha had offered lenders 18.55 crores as upfront payment and land parcels worth 5,000 crore rupees to settle the debt. It also had proposed to infuse 3,000 crore rupees capital to complete the construction of over 20,000 flats. Now, creditors have rejected this offer. Bharti Airtel, which is India's second biggest wireless carrier, is now preparing to kick off the IPO of its Africa unit in a deal that could raise as much as $1 billion. People familiar with the matter have told Bloomberg. Airtel Africa is planning to make a formal announcement about the London listing this month and aims to start trading in June, according to these sources who asked not to be identified. It is considering seeking an equity valuation of about $5 billion. It's being touted that this IPO could be one of the biggest in London this year, which of late has seen a lackluster performance. Realty major DLF said it has transferred the shopping mall in Noida, that is Mall of India, to its subsidiary firm for 2,950 crore rupees as part of efforts to settle dues of its joint venture firm with GIC. DLF has to pay 8,700 crore rupees to the DLF Cybercity Developers, which is a joint venture firm of DLF and Singapore's sovereign wealth fund, GIC. It wants to settle these dues by September this year through transfer of rental assets and land parcels. According to the MD of HDFC Bank, Aditya Puri, the NBFC crisis has been averted, but there are some troubles still persisting. According to him, tighter regulatory oversight and asset sales have staved off the worst of the problems afflicting India's NBFC firms following last year's defaults by ILNFS. But even then, he said it'll be another 12 to 18 months before the liquidity issues in the wider sector are resolved. He said this in an interview with Bloomberg News. Potato farmers have hit back at PepsiCo seeking compensation for harassment, calling for an unconditional withdrawal of its legal case. Sued potato growers in Gujarat on Friday today said they have sought compensation from Pepsi for harassment caused to them due to the lawsuit. The company had sued 9 potato farmers in Gujarat, including 5 last year and 4 this year, for allegedly buying seeds and selling potato of the FL2027 variety registered by PepsiCo. This variety is used by Pepsi for making Lay's chips. Now, turning to news from across the world, Warren Buffett has said Berkshire Hathaway has bought shares of internet retailing giant Amazon for the first time, though he has not been the one to do the buying, according to a report on CNBC. Buffett said the purchase was made by one of his investment managers and details would be disclosed later this month in Berkshire's quarterly report of its US stock holdings. This purchase, of course, makes a huge U-turn for Berkshire, where Buffett has long praised the leadership of Amazon chief executive Jeff Bezos. He had been a fan, but he had never bought. Now, this move by Buffett's company marks a new layer to the association that has developed between these two, because Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway and JP Morgan Chase together formed a new venture last year called Haven to reduce employee healthcare costs, and Atul Gawande was named that particular entity's head. When Berkshire makes an investment, the stock generally goes up. Will it happen for Amazon? We'll of course let you know. SoftBank Group is apparently considering an IPO of its $100 billion Vision Fund, which usually picks up big stakes in fast-growing technology companies, according to the Wall Street Journal. SoftBank is also in talks with Oman for an investment in the Vision Fund, which has raised nearly all of its funding so far from Saudi Arabia and Abu Dhabi, according to the report. The Japanese conglomerate SoftBank did not respond to a Reuters request for comment. In jobs news coming out of America, another month of robust growth and a fresh sign that the recent fears of a slowdown were slightly overblown. The United States has added 263,000 jobs in April. The unemployment rate was 3.6%, which is the lowest level of the 10-year recovery. Now, Of course, Donald Trump is going to claim that this is a success under his regime, but this has been a path that the country has been on for the past 10 years, meaning during the time Obama became president. In other news, Germany has shut down a dark web marketplace. German officials working with the US investigators have arrested three people accused of operating a large online platform for selling drugs and other illegal goods. Now, this is another story that we will be going into a little bit more detail later on the podcast. Tesla increased the amount it could raise through a stock and bond sale by $400 million, and CEO Elon Musk now plans to buy $25 million of the stock. Tesla said today it could bring as much as $2.7 billion in net proceeds from a stock offering and debt sale if the underwriters exercise their full options. That is an increase from the $2.3 billion the company had said yesterday. Now, after all those business updates from around the world, let's turn to general news from across the country. Three dead as Cyclone Fani has hit Odisha and is now moving towards Bengal. The cyclone has uprooted trees and electricity poles and has cut off power supply in many parts of the state. Large areas in the temple town of Puri and other places were submerged as heavy rain battered the coast, according to officials. The cyclonic storm, the strongest cyclone in India in 20 years, is weakening gradually as it is moving towards Bengal. The Odisha government has evacuated over 11 lakh people, including at least 600 pregnant women, to camps on higher grounds. Prime Minister Modi, at a rally in Rajasthan, has said over 1,000 crore rupees had been released in advance for the states affected by the cyclone. Now, in India-related news coming from abroad, a 76-year-old Indian origin head of a US pharmaceutical major has become the first top executive of a drug maker to be convicted of bribing doctors in America to prescribe addictive painkillers, that is opioids, fueling a national opioid crisis which has claimed the lives of tens of thousands of people over two decades. John Nath Kapoor, who's the founder of Insys Therapeutics, based in Arizona's Chandler City, was found guilty of criminal conspiracy by a jury in Boston. He faces up to 20 years in prison. A quick look at the hilarity that is the Indian elections. Arvind Kejriwal had only said, "Modi ji, it is not so easy to buy AAP lawmakers." Cut to Anil Bajpayee, the Aam Aadmi Party lawmaker from the Gandhinagar seat in Delhi, joined the BJP. In politics meets entertainment news, Prime Minister Narendra Modi biopic is slated to be released on the 24th of May, a day after the results of the Lok Sabha elections are declared. It was earlier set to release on the 11th of April, but it was banned by the Election Commission. In some celebrity news, Myntra has appointed Virat Kohli and Anushka Sharma as its first brand ambassadors. According to celebrity management sector estimates, Myntra may be shelling out upwards of 10 crore rupees for the couple as brand endorsement fee. This is obviously the couple's second big brand endorsement deal after Manyavar. Now, let's start with that first story I spoke about Krishi Kalyan and the Pradhan Mantri Kisan schemes. There seems to be quite a bit going on with the farmers, and now, with the elections going on, there is continued focus on their situation. In the middle of all the talk about farmers, the Congress election manifesto also talks about a minimum income scheme promising 6,000 rupees per month for the poorest 20% of India's population. That is, of course, the Nyay scheme. The BJP government had already announced in its annual budget of the Pradhan Mantri Kisan Yojana, which is a scheme to provide 6,000 rupees per year for farmers as part of the overall effort to address their issues. Now, the first installment of 2,000 rupees was disbursed in February to over 3 crore farmers. Now, it appears as if the money has been debited from some of the accounts. RTI queries were sent to some of the nationalized banks, and the responses revealed that this could be because the account numbers were incorrect, perhaps highlighting the difficulty of putting such an enormous system into place. However, investigations and inquiries with farmers have also found that this has happened with eligible accounts as well. Money has simply vanished. And these don't seem to be random occurrences. The amount that has been taken out of beneficiary accounts, depending on the bank, has ranged from 80 lakh rupees to about 90 crore rupees. And these reversals have sometimes happened within a few hours of the money being credited. You get money into your bank and a few hours later, poof, it's gone. A few farmers also showed the messages they had received on their phone mentioning both the credit and then later the debit. The banks have generally referred to incorrect accounts, and in one case, Andhra Bank claimed that the farmers themselves would have withdrawn the money. The Ministry of Agriculture has only said that it was up to the respective state governments to report these cases, and none had come to its notice. In another site related to farmers again, the Krishi Kalyan Cess, which had been wound up with the advent of GST, seems strangely to have been collected even afterwards. Of the 10,500 odd crore rupees that has been collected as Krishi Kalyan Cess, about 1,300 crores is from the period after it was shelved. The Krishi Kalyan Cess came into being in 2016 and constituted 0.5% of the taxable services. The cess was to help finance policies and reform agriculture for the benefit of farmers. Now, GST came, it was supposed to be shelved, but the paisa is still being collected. While this has been happening, on kind of an unrelated note, the drought in Tamil Nadu has attracted the attention of the state government in perhaps the most bizarre manner. The Hindu Religious and Charitable Endowments, which is a department under the state government which controls over 36,000 temples, has issued a circular instructing about 4,000 temples to conduct yajnas with specific procedural instructions so that the gods will be appeased. The Endowments Commissioner, Panindra Reddy, who signed the circular, hasn't made any further announcements, while H. Raja, the BJP candidate from the Shivaganga Lok Sabha seat, has firmly backed the order. I do not have much to say except, God save the country. From hoping for dark clouds to rain upon Tamil Nadu, let's head to the dark web. Oh, the webs we weave. In these days of heightened security concerns, the dark web is something that would give governments and other administrations sleepless nights. The dark web is essentially the part of the internet that is shrouded in secrecy and is not indexed by the various web search engines. The tech nerds and geeks among us know all too well what dark web is. It uses encryption, rerouting, and anonymization to remain invisible to monitoring agencies. It is a means for unauthorized and illegal trade and content sharing to happen without the authorities getting a whiff of it. So naturally, the dark web is also the place where drug trafficking, child pornography, and other such illicit activities thrive, to say nothing, of course, of stolen personal data and downright digital robbery. One such online platform, which is the second largest in the dark space, dealing in drugs and other undesirable and illegal items, has recently been shut down by German officials with the help of American investigative agencies. 320-somethings have been arrested for running the platform, which is called Wall Street Market. We might also, of course, remember other things like Silk Road, etc. This one was called Wall Street Market. The three people were apparently in the process of shutting down the platform and disappearing with the money and personal information of about a million of their customers. This comes squarely to the question of privacy and security. On the one hand, are governments who would like a firmer control over what goes on, concerned about national security and wanting more information about their citizens. And on the other is the concern about personal data and state snooping. In the middle of all of this, where does privacy stand and how does it fit in? Personal messaging has been moving to end-to-end encryption. Facebook, for example, under fire for unregulated negative content, has indicated a move towards private messaging and group messaging, which are encrypted. In an age of almost universal online presence, it becomes all the more important for people to put safeguards in place for themselves and to practice good online habit. Now, online security and privacy are spaces that will come increasingly into the limelight. I'm not saying private messaging and groups within Facebook is anything like the dark web, but the more and more we move towards encryption-based messaging platforms, the more and more difficult it becomes to regulate these illicit activities. So that was another story that came to the light about the dark web. What happens there? We'll, of course, keep you updated. Before I let you go, a quick look at what happened in the stock market. The benchmark indices gave away all their intraday gains in the final hour of trading. At the close, Sensex was down 18.17 points at 38,963.26. Nifty was down 12.5 points to close at 11,712. Among sectors, FMCG, IT, pharma and metal ended in the red. Auto, bank, energy and infrastructure saw some buying. Well, that's it from us for this week. The week has come to an end, which means the weekend is beginning. I wish you a fantastic weekend. It has been a rather hectic week for me, so I'm going to just lay in bed and read a book and, I don't know, study and work because, you know, I'm a bit of a nerd like that. I hope you're not like me and use this time instead to relax and spend time with your loved ones. You can always write into us, mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until the next time you hear from me, which is going to be on Monday with a morning walk down the Lal Street and stock picks of the day, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been today's Editor's Pick, and you've been listening to Money Control.